Sure has been a privilege for us to be here. And of course, Brother and Sister Savage are very special folks to me and have been for some years. And we was trying to figure out how long we have known each other. And probably 26, 27 years, something like that. Now look at Brother Shoecraft. Brother Shoecraft preached youth camp to me. And so I ain't trying to make him feel old, but it's been a while ago. Amen. Amen. In different ones. We're so glad to be here. It's our privilege to be here. And we certainly have enjoyed the services and everything said and done. The preaching has been great and to this point. And I feel very inadequate to stand before you today to preach to you. But it is a privilege to try to preach to you. Some of you I know and a lot of you I don't. So I hope you'll help me. We're not done having church yet, are we? Amen. Let's have some more church. Amen. After my Brother Marvin and two of his sons and then my middle boy came with me this year. And them boys have already told me, they're begging me not to embarrass them by my preaching and flop. They said, if you flop, we're not going to claim you. You know, and so they're putting pressure on me. And but they forget, we're pulling out, going to ride 520-some miles back to the house. So it could be a long ride back. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. And, Brother Juno just preached great, didn't he? Amen. 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. Thank you so much for the hospitality and everything you've done for us. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 6. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. I'll give him rest from all his enemies round about him. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful to have? Amen. And his name shall be Solomon. I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days, and he shall build a house for me, for my name. He shall be my son. I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. Prosper thou. Build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. We'll quit reading there. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven? Ask God to help me preach this afternoon, and ask God to touch us. Father, truly is grateful to be in your house this day. Thank you for what you have already done, what you've accomplished. Lord, I stand before this congregation, this crowd today, realizing I need you. Cannot preach without you. I need your touch. I need your anointing. Help me. Touch me. Touch my body. God, reach down with that anointing that only you can give. Touch some heart, some life that's here. Oh, God, visit. God, just touch us again with your power. And we give you praise and thanks for it in your name. Amen. And the church said, amen. If the Lord would help me for just a few moments today, amen, I'd like to ease something out of here that I have been looking at and studying and praying over. And I want you to realize today that David in this chapter is preparing to build the house of the Lord God. He is, and I feel like, as I have looked at this, and I've wondered about it, but I see an excitement in David. Wouldn't you be? Amen. Going to build the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We need the house of the Lord, don't we? And I feel like that David, as he was preparing, he was laying the foundation. He began to, in his mind, he began to make those preparations that he needed. And I'd like to preach this portion of David's life, if I can, today to us. Amen. As he is receiving this burden that's burning inside of him, the excitement, amen, to build this house of the Lord. David, I feel like was honored that he could put his hand to the hammer and drive the nail, amen. And he was excited and thrilled, and he begins to lay a foundation. He begins to make preparation for it. Amen. I can see him as he takes and he begins to get it all together in his mind and in his heart. Some like what we do at the beginning of life. We begin to make preparations and excitement builds. Amen. The excitement builds as we're teenagers. Amen. In school and high school, knowing that we're going to get out of school. Amen. And we begin to make preparations. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What's going to be my career? Amen. And we begin to set them dreams and them goals and these things. Amen. We're going to get married. We're going to raise a family. Anybody out there? Amen. We begin to dream like that. Hallelujah. We begin to do all that. Now we're old. Amen. Now we're old. We're past that stage. Amen. But it's still not wrong to dream, to set a vision, to set a goal. Amen. And David comes to this time and he says, it was in my mind to build a house for the Lord. Oh, God, help me a little bit this morning, Lord. Amen. But David begins that preparation. He's got it into his mind. Amen. He's excited about it. He's thrilled. Amen. Why? Because David was this man after the heart of God. Amen. David was looking for that place. Amen. That where all the children of Israel could come and gather. Amen. To where God could come down and dwell among the people. Amen. In such a way. Hallelujah. Amen. That it would change their atmosphere. It would change their way of living. It would change their thinking. Amen. And David begins to feel the excitement in the air as he's making preparations and as he's planning this. Amen. He's thinking of the foundation. How will I build it? Amen. He's thinking about the inner court. How am I going to raise it up? He's thinking about the altar that needs to be brought back and how that I'm going to position that inside the house of God. Amen. There is an excitement in David. Amen. David is thrilled to know that God had chose him and placed it. And he said, in my mind, I had it to build a house unto the name of God. Oh, hallelujah. He begins to look at the masons. He begins to call them out, and he begins to hew stones to build the house of God. He is making plans, laying out the temple as it's going to be built. He lays it out in his mind, and now he's going to take it from his mind and place it in his hands. Amen. He transforms it from the mind to the heart. Amen. Because that's where it began. Amen. That was the dedication that he had. Amen. That's where it was birthed. Amen. He was alone and he felt moved by God. You ever been moved by God to go do something for him? Has God ever touched your life and burdened you? Has God ever done something to you? Amen. That you're so excited about it. Amen. Has God ever called you to do something? Amen. He begins to make a mass for this material that he needs. He brings the preparations. He begins to make all of these things to build a house for the Lord, to where he'll come down and dwell. David's dream is coming from his mind and his heart and going to come to his hands. You say, where is this preacher going? Amen. I'm about to get to where I'm headed right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But here he is. Amen. And all of a sudden, amen, all of a sudden, the excitement of David, amen, amen, comes to a resting place. It comes to a stop. Because the word of the Lord comes to David and says, hold on, son, hold on. He said, you're not going to build the word, this house unto me. He said, but the word of the Lord came to me. Amen. All of a sudden, that dream that David feels, amen, that excitement that he feels, amen. David is just as human as me and you. Amen. David is just as excited as me and you are. Amen. David is just as a man of emotion, just like we are. Amen. I've heard people say, I don't have any emotions. Oh, yes, you do. You let your neighbor do something wrong on your property and you come alive. You got them in there. Amen. Amen. You let somebody, come on, somebody help me preach just a minute. And we gather in the house of God. I said, we've come to the house of the Lord where God is dwelling in the house. Amen. And we show less emotions. We show enthused and unthrilled about it. Amen. But there is a place that God wants to dwell with his people. I hope I can preach this. Amen. This is new to me, and I'm still putting the pieces together. Amen. And I wrestled with this, Brother Savage, about this. Amen. But I see David as he gets the word from God. Amen. And God puts a stop on it. And God says, hold on, David. You're not going to do it. He said, yes, there'll be a place, but your son is going to build a house for me. Your son is going to do it. Oh, hey, in his name, I'm going to raise him up. Amen. He's going to build the temple. I know we need the temple. Amen. Because we need a place for the altar. We had altars long before temples. But God, in his divine grace and mercy, amen, he tells Solomon. Amen. David calls Solomon. Amen. And begins to tell Solomon, my son, this is what you're going to do. I want you to notice, number one, David's response to God when God stops David in his tracks. David's response to God. A lot of times, I'll have to admit, has not been my response. And it's not yours today either. Because David felt like, oh God, help me. Amen. Amen. David felt like in that enthusiasm and that excitement. Amen. And I prayed over this and looked at it and tried to dissect it. Amen. But David's response to God, I want you to notice what he does. He does not get, amen, he does not allow his heart to become full of hate. The same enthusiasm that David had about building the house of God, he's still carrying it. Amen. Amen. Even though God has changed the plan, even though God turned the page, amen, David says, I'm not going to get bitter at God. I'm not going to allow that to rise up in my mind. I'm not going to allow that to separate me from God. Why? David's response to God was, as long as the house gets built, what does it matter? As long as there's a place for God to come down and dwell with his people. Oh. We're not like that though, are we? Something goes wrong, we get bitter. We turn. Oh, come here. Hallelujah. Amen. I've had my dreams shattered a few times. And as you craft last fall, amen, they treat me for my heart rhythm in my heart with some medicine. And so, you know, I have to go and have some blood work done. And the place where they drew my blood, amen, I'm scared of needles. I don't like needles. Neither do you. I can tell some of you out there don't like them either. Amen. Amen. I don't like them. And so when it's time for the blood draw, I go, oh, yeah. Oh. You know, Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I didn't watch. And they had used a needle that had been used before. And I'd contacted a disease from it. And I didn't know that. I got very sick. I jaundiced. Hepatitis, a viral hepatitis set in. Oh, amen. Y'all out there, amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me preach a little bit about Brother Jimmy's experience. Amen. Amen. And so my wife, my father-in-law died suddenly of a massive heart attack. Amen. The last of October, the 30th of October. Amen. And on Thanksgiving weekend, amen, I didn't want to tell her. Amen. And I was having problems. Amen. And I was very sick and I was getting worse. Amen. And things in my body was changing and I knew something was wrong. Amen. Amen. And my brother-in-law over Thanksgiving looked at me and he said, "Why are your eyes yellow?" I said, "You're crazy. My eyes ain't yellow." Amen. Amen. And a little while went by. Amen. Eat just a very little bit. And you can look at me and tell I like to eat. Amen. And I just eat a little of this and a little of that. And I'd go back to the recliner. Amen. And I finally told my wife, I said, "Babe, I hate to do this to you." I said, "But I'm going to have to get somewhere. Amen. I feel like I'm dying." Amen. We went to the hospital. We walked in. And they said, "Reverend, what are you here for?" I said, "I don't know what's wrong, but there's something wrong." And they looked at me. And they said, "Come on around the corner here." Amen. And I went around that corner and they went to draw blood. Amen. Amen. And I said, "Here it is." Amen. Amen. And they drew that blood. And they said, "We're taking you on back." And in a little bit, my wife joined me. In come Dr. McAfee. Amen. That he knew me. He said, "Preacher, what are you doing in here?" I said, "Dr. McAfee, something's wrong." He looked at me. And he said, "Son, how long you been jaundiced?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "How long you been jaundiced? Come here, look." Amen. And I'll make this as quick as possible. Amen. And I got up, went to the mirror, and I looked, and my eyes were yellow, and my face was yellow. And I looked and I said, "My God." Amen. We bury people that look this way. I'm in trouble. Amen. Amen. He looked and he said, "Your blood work has come back. Something's wrong with your liver." He said, "I think you've got a massive tumor. You've got cancer." Amen. My wife is bawling her eyes out. She comes over to the bedside. The doctor walks back out the room and she says, "Jim, tell me you're not going to die. Tell me we got dreams. We got goals. Don't die on me. Y'all ain't helping me preach." Amen. I'm telling you, God, amen, sometimes it looks like God jerks a rug out from underneath us. And David knew that it was important on how he responded to God was to stay encouraged in the eyes of God. Oh, his dream may have felt like it was shattered. And his response to God was, "We're still going to have a house." He refused to get bitter. Amen. During that process of time, amen, they came in and they told me, they said, "Sir, we're not sure just exactly how bad. We don't know if you'll live, die." Amen. I mean, my wife was having a hard time. Just buried her daddy. She is having a hard time. I remember she gripped my hand as I laid on that hospital. My God, I'm trying to preach to you today. You may feel like your dreams are shattered, but God's got a divine plan that's out there. Amen. I said, you may feel like your dream has went down the drain, but you got to understand, God's waiting on your response. God's watching your reaction. Amen. React in the way you need to. Throw your hands back in the air. Magnify God. It didn't matter how the house got built, as long as it got built. So, Lord mercy, let me finish this. And I'm going to hurry. So they came and they told me, my wife, she said, "Honey, we're going to get people praying." I don't remember how Brother Savage found out, but he found out. don't remember if I called him, how it happened. They told me, they said, you need to be making some preparations. I told my wife what I wanted at the funeral. Come on now. Huh? She said, Jim, we've got dreams. And they seem so shattered right now. Hallelujah. I said, baby, it doesn't matter. Amen. What matters is we're going to live for God. We're going to serve God whether our dreams are fulfilled or not. Amen. Do you have that same attitude today? Amen. It doesn't matter how my dream is. What matters is that God has his will and way in my life. Amen. And so, to make a long story short, amen, that was on Saturday. Several people came. My church folks was there Sunday. And that Sunday night, there was a lady out there in the hallway. She walked in that room. She said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes. She said, are you a holiness preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, was them some of your people out of your church? And I said, yes, ma'am. Amen. And she said, I did not know there was any of you all still around. We began to talk, Brother Lloyd. We began to communicate. Amen. And she said, I remember them days. She said, I was raised, my grandmother was raised in the old time church of God. She said, we wore dresses. We wore our hairs up on our head, our hair on our head. Said they shouted it down underneath the power of God. She said, we thought you all was gone. Amen. And she began to cry like a baby. And she said, I feel something right now. I said, ma'am, it's time you turn your heart back to God. Hey, it looked like my dream was shattered. But there in Louisville, Kentucky, laying on a hospital bed, one woman walked in that room needing to know that there's still a church where God comes down and God dwells and God blesses and God moves. Hey, Elkton needs to see there's still a church on top of a mountain where the power of God comes down. Oh! You say it may feel like our dreams are shattered. You ain't read the rest of the chapter. Woo! God's waiting on your response. God wants to know how you're going to respond to the storm that's blowing. Huh? All that week, they came. Brother Savage called me. Me and Brother Savage were friends. Been friends a lot of years. He's one of my favorite preachers. And I told Brother Savage, I said, listen, if I die, I said, I'd like for you to come and preach my funeral. I said, but my request is that all these meetings that I've went to and I've given your offerings and I've supported you is not to take poor old some widow woman's money to come from Virginia to preach my funeral. I said, the least you could do is preach it and not get charged for it. Woo! I did it. I told him. He laughed and he said, hold on, son. He said, we're going to talk to God about this thing. Amen. Brother Tommy Tolliver called me. They're taking me out for a biopsy. Amen. A liver biopsy. And just before they came to get me, my phone rung. And Brother Tommy Tolliver said, Brother Deckard, I heard the Lord say this. And I called to tell you what he said. I said, all right, Brother Tommy. He said, the Lord said, after a while, you'll be standing on this mountain instead of the mountain standing on you. God's going to bring it out. God's got a plan. Oh, it may seem like it's shattered, but it ain't over. Get your harp off the willow. Strum it again. There's a divine plan for the house of God. Raise your hands and worship God. Woo! 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 He doesn't get bitter. Let me go back. That lady come back in there on Thursday, crying her eyes out. She visited me every night. Every night. Gave her church cards. Talked to her about her soul. But Savage, that Thursday night, she walked in that room and she said, "Preacher, I come to tell you one thing." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "You're going to live." I said, "Well, I hope I do." She said, "No, you're going to live. You're going to make it." I said, "How come?" She said, "Because if anybody can move the heart of God, it is the holiness people. They can touch the heart of God. And you're going to come out of this because God's got a divine plan. It looked like my dream was shattered, but God's got a plan." Oh, I'm trying to help you today. You may feel like your dream has shattered, but David's response to God should be our response to God. Now I want you to notice David's response to Solomon. "My son, you see love and compassion there?" "I do." "My son, this is what's going to happen." "Woo! My son, I cannot put my hand to it, but you can." "Woo! I got the plans, the preparations, everything you need. Amen. I got it laid out there. But I'm not going to put my hand to the hammer. But my son, whom I loveth, there's a calling coming your way that is higher than my love." Oh, glory to God. I said, "There's a call coming that's higher." Amen. "My son, God's calling you to a higher ground. And God is calling you that's sitting in these pews. You feel like your dreams are shattered. God's got a divine plan. God wants to see your response." David's response to Solomon is, "You're my son." Can I tell you, I feel like David stood up, squared his shoulders back, and said, "That's my son." Oh, God. I don't know if I'm helping you or not, but I feel pretty good trying, praise God. Amen. Now I want you to notice Solomon's response to God. I looked to see how Solomon reacted. I never found where Solomon said, "Let Dad do it." "I don't want to do it." Woo! The man of God asked you to do something? Amen. "Well, I don't want to do that." Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. That wasn't Solomon's. Amen. Solomon not one time questioned the authority of David. Amen. Why? Because Solomon was not only submissive to his father, he realized he had to be submissive to God. He had to be submissive to God Almighty. Why? Because Solomon understood the relationship that David had with his father. I know we can go back and talk about all the failures of David, but I can go back and talk about your failures too. But God had a divine plan. And that plan was for a place to be built where God could come down and dwell amongst his people. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll hurry. He says, here's the pattern. Solomon responded to David as only Solomon could. With a heart of love and compassion. If David was going to get bitter, he'd have told Solomon, "You get it yourself. You get to vision yourself." He didn't do that. Solomon, I believe, gracefully takes David's plans and the pattern. And he began to build. When you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and the Bible said, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. Oh, and a house for his kingdom. Oh, amen. Verse number 5 said, and the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Woo! Hey, do you feel that way today? Hey, amen. I know this world is cutting down Christianity. And I know this world is cutting down our churches. But I'll say this. It's a great church. And it's greatly to be praised. Why? Because he's a God above all gods. I said he's a God above all gods. Woo! Glory to God. I said there's a God above all gods. Build a house. Woo. Verse 6 said, who? He questioned it. He said, but who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and heavens of heaven cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to be our sacrifice before him? Who am I? God didn't ask if you had the quality to do it. God just asks you if you're willing to submit your will to do it. Your dreams are shattered. But God's got a divine plan for the church. For the church will not go down in defeat. The church will arise. And he began in verse number 9, even to prepare timbers in the abundance for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful and great. Do you feel that way about your house? Y'all, I ain't getting this to you. What do you feel about this church right here? Come on now. This preacher's waiting on your response. God's waiting on your response. Hey, just cause the storm blew doesn't mean it destroyed the house. The house is his. Oh, glory to God. I said the house is his. How do you feel about your tabernacle where you go? Does your church mean more to you than anything in the world? Does your church mean value to you? Does your church the place where God comes down? And man, what does it mean to you where you dwell? What about your church? I said, what about your house? What does it mean to you? Brother Savage, I'm leaving you with a big mess to clean up when I'm done. But I'm telling you, you can do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because God's waiting on your response. The devil backed you up into a corner and said, you want to shout? You ain't got nothing to shout about. I'm going to take it out of you. Amen. Oh, yeah. I've been there, too. There's been times I thought I'd never get my shout back. Amen. He pulled the carpet out from underneath of me. Amen. And I fell absolutely to the bottom. Amen. But it was then. Come on, somebody help me preach. I said, but it was then when I went back into the house of God. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God surprised me. Opened the windows of heaven and rained the glory down. It's your house. How do you want it built? If you build it on man's doctrine, it'll fall. But if you build the house according to God's divine plan, it will stand. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me catch you. Oh, glory to God. Brother Savage said, you're not eating till 1. I got 25 more minutes. And I hate to bore you that much longer. Chapter 3, and Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Verse 3, and now these things are where Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God, the length. Verse 4, and the porch.
I ain't got time to read all this. Verse 5, the greater the house was circled with fir tree, overlaid with fine gold. Verse 6, he garnished the house with precious stones for beauty. It's a place where God's going to come down and dwell. We're going to do the best we can to lay it down the way it ought to be built. Amen. Why? Because it's where God is going to meet with his people. He made the most holy house of length, where was according to the breadth, the 20 cubits and the breadth thereof. They work. They labor. They work. And finally, the dream of David that looked shattered is now coming to the final nail. Here it is. We're to the final brick to be laid. Woo! And the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And then Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated. The silver, the gold, the instruments, the treasures of the house of God. All of those things that was dedicated. Amen. And finally, that's not end. But I want you to see something for me. And, Brother Juno, would you read for me? Could you help me and read? The sweat has got down in my eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm having a little trouble here. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5 for me. Amen. And here in a minute, I want you to read verse 13. The excitement not only lived in David, but it was in Solomon. Because of David's reaction to God. I feel like if David had reacted in the wrong way, it would have affected Solomon. Why? Because what I do and how I react affects my three children. And how you are reacting to the storm that's at hand is affecting your children. You don't seem excited about the house of God, they're not going to be excited about the house of God. You don't seem thrilled to go to church and worship God, they're not going to seem thrilled to go to church and worship God. Your reaction is going to affect them. And so I feel like that Solomon or David's reaction impacted Solomon. Even though David didn't drive the nail, but it was carried out by the hands of Solomon. Woo! And now, the preparation's over. The house is built. Read for me. Huh? Hold on. What do you mean? I thought we was just going to build a house. Uh-uh. There's more to building a house than driving a nail. They had to come together, not only to build the house, but now they had to come together to do what? Make one sound. One sound. Woo, glory to God. Man, I wish I was preaching this to you the way it's in my heart. I said they had to come together for one sound. They came together to build the house. A house divided against itself will never stand. But when the house pulls together in unity, it can survive any storm and any attack on the devil. And now they come together for one sound to do what? Brother Deckard, we've done shouted, we've done rejoiced. Hey, no, no, no. The labor was hard. The sweat of the brow was much. But now they come together in one sound to give him praise. That ain't the end. That ain't the end. Come on, Brother Chris, read some more. What have you been saying since you've been in this house? That ain't the end. Come here. Brother Chris, come here.
That then the house was filled,
the house was filled
with a cloud.
With what?
A cloud.
A cloud.
Even
what?
The house of the Lord.
The house of the Lord.
A cloud.
A cloud. A cloud. What's that cloud? It is the glory. I said it's the glory. I said it's the glory. Amen. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Hallelujah. Hey, your dream may be shattered, but there is a God in heaven that's going to fill the house with his glory. Hey,
David, your dream seemed shattered a few chapters ago, but now it's alive. Hey, I said, now it's alive. Amen, now it's alive. And he said this in chapter 6, but I have built a house for the habitation of thee, a place for thy dwelling forever.
And so while your dreams seem shattered, God has got a divine plan that sometimes you cannot see with the natural eye. But how are you going to respond?
Oh yeah, a few months ago, I went into a storm. Bless you, Craft. I thought I was going to go crazy. My blonde hair is turning gray. My nerves worked on me. I walked the floor at night. My wife said, "What, Jim, what in the world? You got to get a hold of yourself. You got to get a hold of yourself." Early one morning, I said, "God, I'm going to the house and talk to you." I rolled out of that bed. I went to that church house. I got in there, and I looked around, and all of a sudden I seen darkness everywhere. And I felt like it was going to smother me. I started turning lights on. Come on now, somebody help this preacher. And that light drove the darkness out of that sanctuary. And all of a sudden, Brother Ben, amen, me and the Lord got together and we had church. Woo! Hey, I like having church when everybody's there. But that day, me and the Lord had church. Amen. And I walked back in the house where my wife was. And she looked into my eyes. And she said, "I know what's happened to you. I can see it on your face. The Lord came down in the house." Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. You may feel like it's shattered. And your nerves may seem like they're a wreck. But if we can worship him the way he deserves, the glory will fill this sanctuary greater than it has before. And he can speak the word, and you can have peace. Raise your hands and worship him.
Woo! Glory to God. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise tonight. Give him praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Ha! Holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come. Praise his wonderful name. Ha! I don't know how you feel about it, but we've heard from God today again.